Good morning to you. Happy snow day. You all get extra points for being here on time on a snow day. God bless you. There are people in the lobby. They will be coming in, but let's stand and begin to worship the Lord. A few more of you have come in, so there are a few more bonus points coming for those who made it here this morning. Are our roads plowed now? Maybe one lane somewhere on major roads, and that's about it. I need glasses. Excuse me. I am a minister of a certain age. There are a few announcements that I will draw your attention to. Marjorie White died this past week. She has not been well for a very long time, and so the service for her memorial service will be on Friday, January 25th, coming up at 11 a.m. here at St. Paul's, and Reverend Dr. Floyd McPhee will be taking that service, as I'll be in Vancouver at the time. So I would encourage you to consider that in your plans this week. Seniors Lunch is coming up on the 23rd. You do need to sign up for that. And I will be going on a couple weeks of vacation as we go to celebrate our daughter's wedding, and as some other people are going to celebrate their daughter's wedding as well. This is a coming weekend for weddings. Two more things. This one is the official legal Presbyterian thing. You don't get a lot more Presbyterian than this. Whereas, see, you know, when you start with a whereas, you know, you're in either the law or Presbyterianism. Whereas Andre Azambu, Janet Mabee, Mary McRae, Rosemary Opare, Kathy Patrick, members of this church, have been duly elected to the eldership of this congregation and have been approved by the session. Notice is hereby given that the session will proceed to ordain and admit them to that office on the 10th day of February in the year 2019 at 10 o'clock a.m., unless some valid objection has been given unto the moderator, that's me, or unto the moderator through the clerk, that's Dan, within 10 days from this date, dated Ottawa, January 20th, 2019, not 1919, 2019. And that's a thing of great joy as we prepare to ordain our new elders. And the only other announcement I have is in regards to the visioning process. We talk about it every once in a while, and then it kind of goes silent, and people wonder what's happening. Things are progressing. Things are still being studied and looked at and considered. And I would still encourage you to be prayerful for that, to pray for the vision team, for the session, for the board, as we all look at these things. More is coming. When I come back from vacation, I'm going to be preaching a series on visioning and what that means for us, looking at the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. So we'll be doing that, and more will be coming. So please be prayerful. Those are the announcements I will draw your attention to. Let's pray together. Our loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each other. We thank you for your presence here with us. We pray for those who are on the road. We pray that you would bring them safely here if they are coming, or hold them safely at home if that's what they've decided to do. Bless us today as we worship, that we might know you, even in a smaller group, that we might know you even in a more intimate way. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with your Spirit. Bless us with an encounter of the living God. We pray, Lord, that you would be merciful to us, that you would forgive us our sins, that you would heal our brokenness, and that you would make us new people, that we should live for you and worship you in all ways. Our God, all these prayers we offer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise and sing again.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. King of kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Thank you. of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
thank you that your wounds have paid our ransom. We thank you for giving your all on the cross that we should know life in you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, your holiness, your mercy. We thank you, O God, for all that you give to us. Amen. Nope, sorry. See, you do something a little different, it throws everybody off. Unless you have to sit.
Are you guys praying for snow?
No.
Oh, okay. It's okay. Right? It won't last long. It'll only be a few more weeks of January. We have no problem. So, things sometimes look tough. There are a little snowstorm. That's no problem. But remember poor Joseph. Right? What is Joseph going to go through now? He was thrown into a pit, sold by his brothers. What happened next to him?
He was sent to Egypt, and then this man called Potiphar.
Yes.
Was surrounded.
Good job. I'm going to let John tell the story. It is so good that you know that whole story. I know you've been doing it at home too. I can tell, right? So he's in prison, right?
And then the God, and then the Pharaoh has a dream, and then Joseph tells him the dream, and then
and that's as far as we got.
And then,
we're not gonna go tell them the rest yet. Okay. Okay. So he was thrown into prison. And then he interpreted a dream for the baker and the cupbearer. Right. Yeah. So now Joseph is still, Joseph is still not very happy, I'm sure, thrown in prison. But he does something. He interprets those dreams and Pharaoh hears about it. And Pharaoh gets him to interpret a dream for him. Remember about the famine? There's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh sees that Joseph is a very wise leader and that God is with Joseph. We know that, don't we? So let's see what's going to happen to Joseph today when we go upstairs. And remember that no matter how bad it got for Joseph, that God had a plan for his life. And we can't see it at some points in his life, just like we can't see it at some points in our own lives. But God has a plan for his life, and we're going to see what God works out for Joseph. Let's pray together, and then we're going to walk upstairs, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have a plan for our lives, for Joseph's life. Help us to understand that you are always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go.
Let's continue to worship God as we take up the offering and as we sing as we do so.
become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To ye overcome by your presence, Lord.
Please have a seat. For those who like following up on gory details, I had my stent taken out on Thursday and feel fabulous. Truly. It wasn't a lot of fun, but I feel fabulous now. This morning I'm reading from the ESV, so it have a different sound to it than it would from the NIV. We're reading Mark 9, verses 14 to 29. Let us hear God's word. And then they came to the disciples. They saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse. So that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What is prayer? Think about the definition that you have for prayer. And think about how you pray, if you pray. And does your practice of prayer match your definition of prayer? Because sometimes we have a theory about something, and what we do doesn't always match. Prayer in the most basic sense is talking with God. but it usually involves us asking God to act on our behalf, or on behalf of people we care about, or to act in the world in general. For many, prayer becomes a spiritual shopping list of things that we want from God. And when we look at prayer like that, the question then comes to mind, does prayer work? Do we get what we want when we ask God for it? I was probably about 11 years old when an older cousin, a fairly much older cousin, his marriage fell apart. Now, at 11, I was a prayer. My parents had taught me to pray, and so every night I prayed, and I had words, and I had a form of prayer. But when my cousin's marriage ended, prayer became new to me. It became bigger and more important to me. It became mine instead of something that was handed to me. And I prayed earnestly. I prayed intensely that my cousin and his wife would get back together again. I prayed every night. I prayed for months. And I continued to pray that every night right up until he married another woman. That prayer didn't, and I really hate air quotes, but you're going to get air quotes today, that prayer didn't work. If we look at prayer as being asking for stuff from that perspective, that prayer didn't work. Did I not pray enough? Did I not use the right words? Did I not believe hard enough? Well, prayer is not magic. There are not right words that result in success when we use them and failure when we don't. There's also a lot of complexities in a situation like that. God does not force himself upon us. God did not force himself upon my cousin. He and his wife had free will. But if prayer is just asking for stuff, if that's the fullness of what prayer is, then that prayer did not work. When I was 20 years old, my prayer life again deepened and transformed when Don Campbell, the minister of this church, when he got very sick. And I knew more. I had studied more. I was at that point on track to become an architect instead of a minister, so I didn't know as much as I know now, but I had read in Mark's gospel a little farther along from what we just read that Jesus said to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." And so I prayed. I prayed a lot. I prayed intensely. I prayed every day for Don's healing. I prayed passionately, believing that God would heal this man of faith. And I prayed every day that God would heal him right up to the day that Don died. That prayer didn't work. When we define prayer just by asking for stuff. Did I not pray hard enough? Did I allow a little bit of doubt to creep in? Because that verse says, you know, no doubt and you're going to get it, but if you doubt, then, you know. If prayer is just asking for stuff, that prayer didn't work. Now, just in case you're beginning to wonder if this sermon is about how prayer doesn't work, let me assure you that prayer works. But I'm going to take that in another direction. I can point to a lot of times where my prayers, the prayers of people around me, have profoundly been answered by God. Sometimes just as I wanted. Usually, sometimes in a different sort of way. But even positively, it can be different. My treatment for the kidney stone recently was a real answer to prayer. The speed that things happened was an answer to prayer. My call to ministry, my call to the churches to which I have ministered, are answers to prayer. Our recent election of elders here at St. Paul's, answer to prayers. Seeing God leading through our visioning process at the church, there's been a lot of prayer offered around this, and we have seen God working through that, and that's exciting to see. God has brought to me people at just the right people at just the right time, saying just the right words in answer to prayer. God answers prayer. But the question, does prayer work, is the wrong question. Because prayer is not just about asking for stuff. As Lamar Williamson writes, prayer in Mark's gospel is not pious manipulation of God to get what we want, but communing with God. I love that. It's not pious manipulation of God to get what we want, but prayer is communing with God. Prayer is sharing with God. It is spending time with God. It is spending time in God's Word. Prayer is about expressing our faith by opening up our hearts and expressing our hearts to God. Prayer is about taking time to deepen our relationship with the Lord. Within that context, yes, there is space for asking God to act, but there is also space to thank God for what He has done, to honor God, to worship God, and to surrender our wills to Him. That's a pretty significant part of prayer, surrendering our wills to Him. And we see some of this in our scripture passage today. We have one story that we're going to look at from three different perspectives as we work our way through. The first, we're starting with the Father. Not God the Father, but the Father in the story. We don't know much about the Father except that He had a son whom He loved dearly, and a son who was badly afflicted. Mark's gospel tells us that it was a spirit. It looks and sounds an awful lot like epilepsy. Whatever was going on there, the boy was terribly afflicted. And the father did whatever he could to get his son well again, and nothing worked. He more than likely spent time in prayer. He more than likely offered sacrifices. He more than likely went to see the physicians of the first century, whatever they were able to do. And nothing worked, nothing helped the boy. And then one day he hears that Jesus of Nazareth, this man who had been healing and preaching, was in the area. And so the man took his boy to go and find Jesus. And I can picture in my mind him almost frantically searching for Jesus, asking where he would be. And he finally gets directions and he goes to the place where he's told where Jesus is, and he finds 9 disciples and no Jesus. And the 9 disciples tell him that Jesus is away for a while, but don't worry, we can help. And so the father presents his son to the disciples, looking for them to help. And the attempts begin. And in my mind's eye, I can imagine one after the other, the disciples trying to cast out the spirit, trying to heal the boy, and no matter what they did, nothing seemed to help. After a time, a crowd began to gather around to see what was happening, and the desperate father got more desperate and frustrated. It didn't take long before an argument broke out between the disciples and some of the religious leaders, and the distressed father and his son were forgotten in the midst of this growing debate. Have you ever felt like the Father? desperate, that desperate. With a sick child, yes, we feel that desperate. But it can come in other ways in our lives where we're desperate for something to happen, desperate for something to be fixed, and nothing seems to work. From the disciples' perspective, the story starts a little farther back. Sometime before this, Jesus had empowered the 12 to go out away from him and to cast out spirits and to heal people. And they did. They went out and they cast out spirits and they healed people and they came back with amazing stories of what they had done. And it worked. And that's an incredible place to be, is it not? When you have an ability or a gift or something and you make use of it and it works great. It's just such a joyous place to be. And that's how the disciples came back, filled with such joy at what they had been able to do. And sometime later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up a mountain. I think the nine were probably kind of used to it at this point in time. Jesus frequently took Peter, James, and John somewhere special and left them behind, the left behinds. They probably had some things to work through because of that. But here now, this father brought this son to them. Here was their opportunity. They could show themselves, they could show Jesus that they could do this. They had done it before. They had healed. They had cast out spirits. And again, I can see them in my mind's eye, one after the other, trying to help the boy. Me, let me try. And each one of them failing along the way. Failing to help the boy, failing to relieve the father. Imagine their confusion. They had healed before. They had felt what it feels like. They had cast out spirits before. They were probably getting frustrated. And with a growing crowd of people coming around to see them, they were probably getting more than a little embarrassed. And then some of the religious leaders challenged them about what they were doing. And so they turned to the religious leaders to defend themselves. You ever felt like the disciples? You know, at one point in time, you're on top of the world. Everything is going your way. Everything's just moving along perfectly. Perhaps it's a spiritual thing where you're just feeling really connected with God and everything's going well. And then sometime later, just like nothing. It's flat. There's nothing happening. Completely ineffective. Why? What changed? What happened between the times when they could heal, and this time. And then Jesus comes onto the scene in the story. Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John to go up a mountain for them to experience something, for them to experience his transfiguration. It was a revealing of the glory of the Son of God to these three disciples. It reminds me almost in reverse of the Wizard of Oz. It's a peek behind the curtain, but instead of finding just a man, instead of a wizard, they peek behind the curtain and they find God is behind the curtain. And that's Jesus. And that's the experience they have up on this mountain. And then they come down the mountain and they find a crowd gathered and they find the nine disciples are arguing with the religious leaders, probably becoming kind of heated at this point in time. And Jesus asked them what was going on, and the desperate father who had been forgotten in the melee came forward and presented his case to Jesus. "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And Jesus responds with a couple of questions about how long will I have to put up with this faithless generation? Who do you think Jesus was referring to when he talked about the faithless ones? One, the Father. It was his own disciples. The father had actually expressed faith by bringing his son to Jesus for healing. That's an expression of faith. Jesus asked the father some questions, and the man answered those questions and then concluded by saying, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief." Is that you? Because it certainly is me. I believe. Help my unbelief. The father offered something of a paradox, but it was no contradiction. He believed, he trusted, but he knew that that faith was not all that it could be. I believe, help my unbelief. I trust you, help me to trust you even more. And Jesus accepted the teetering faith of the father and healed his son. He didn't require Superman faith, but Jesus does require faith. He does require us to trust him. Part of what we learn here is that it's not so much about the strength of our faith as it is about the strength of the one in whom we put our faith. It's not how strong my faith is, it's how strong Jesus is. I believe. Help my unbelief. After the father had left with his healed son, the disciples were wondering what had happened, or more specifically, what hadn't happened, why they were unable to help the boy. Jesus had empowered them. He had given them gifts to be able to heal, and they had done that. All of them had done that in the past. Why the ineffectiveness now? Why spiritual impotence now? Have you experienced that? Spiritual ineffectiveness. Yeah, me too. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Prayer is what they lacked. They were relying on their own power and the knowledge that they had healed before. But let's think about that for a moment. There were 9 of them. And one after the other, they tried to heal the boy. Is Mark telling us that not one of the 9 of them figured that it would be important to actually ask God to help? I think there must have been some kind of prayer in the midst of that. But remember what Lamar Williamson wrote. Prayer in Mark's gospel is not pious manipulation of God to get what we want, but communing with God. We don't know their motivations in the prayer that they offered. Was it just to make sure that they looked okay? Prayer is not pious manipulation of God to get what we want. Prayer is communing with God. Prayer is being with God. Prayer is not about us trying to convince God to help us, providing a reasoned argument to press God to help. Prayer is not about manipulating God into action. "God, I'll never do that again as long as you do this. God, I'll put more money in the offering plate if you do this." Prayer is not about informing God that he owes us anything, because he does not. But there's times where we offer those prayers. "But God, I did this for you. Come on. It's your turn." Prayer is communing with God. Prayer is sharing with God, spending time with God, spending time in God's Word, expressing our faith and expressing our hearts to God, taking time to deepen our relationship with the Lord. And within that context, there is space for asking God to act, but also to thank God, to honor God, to worship God, and to surrender our wills to God. Prayer is spending time with God, getting to know God even as He knows us, and calling out to Him, "I believe, help my unbelief." Prayer is spending quality time with God so that when we do ask Him to act, it comes from a place of our fuller and better and deeper understanding of God's will, and our subjecting our wills to His will. This week, may our times of prayer resemble spiritual shopping lists less, and time shared, quality time shared with our Savior and Lord, more. I believe. Help my unbelief. Let's pray together. We believe, Lord. Help our unbelief. We trust you, Lord. Help us to trust you more. You have shown yourself and you have even proved yourself. We look back upon the history of your interaction with your people and we see your faithfulness. We see your answering prayer in a variety of ways. We see your communing with your people. We see it in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we see it in the people of God in Egypt and through Moses leading them to the promised land. We see your faithfulness and answers to prayer in the times of the prophets and priests and kings. We see your faithfulness, Lord. We see your communing with your people. And we see it most perfectly in Jesus. We see it most perfectly in Jesus, and we thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus and the life we know in Him. We thank you for Jesus and the cross and His resurrection. We thank you for His completely faithful life offered in sacrifice to you for us. We thank you for the life that you give us in Him, life in abundance, life eternal. We trust you, Lord. Help us to trust you more. Lord, we do pray for you to act. We pray for this world. We're politically in these days, it seems such a mess, and there are so many concerns. We pray, Lord, for your intervention. We even pray, come, Lord Jesus. Make this world right. Lord, in our own community, we pray for those who are still impacted by the horrific bus crash. We pray for families that are grieving. We pray for people who are still in hospital healing. We pray your grace in the midst of all that situation. We pray for the bus driver. We pray for the first responders. We pray for the people right here in our own neighborhood who are struggling because of this, who were at the station or on the next bus or so close. And Lord, we pray your grace and blessing upon our brother Bill White, in the death of Marjorie. Lord, it's like him losing her a second time. So we pray your comfort upon him and your healing upon his soul. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief always and in every way. We ask in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's rise and sing to God, singing his glory, proclaiming how great is our God.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Name above all names, well worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God! Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God! How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God.
My brothers and sisters, go from here in a spirit of prayerfulness, spending time with the Lord, taking time to spend it with him. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you and fill you to overflowing, now and always. Amen.